What's up, y'all? Welcome into the DNVR Rams podcast presented by Natures of Colorado, the Northeastern Colorado dispensary providing top quality cannabis and a wide variety of products. Remember to use that code DNVR online or mention DNVR in store or drive through. Man, I don't even know where to start, so I guess we'll just dive right into this. The big news of the day, Joe Parker is out as the Colorado State Athletic Director. Originally reported by Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan, I was able to verify that report independently myself. I caught up with Kevin because I figured there's nobody better to have on the podcast to talk about this than me and him. I'll get to that discussion in just a second. We answered a lot of the questions that you guys sent in on Twitter. Appreciate everybody for giving us some great questions to dive into. I'll play that discussion with him here in just a second. I did want to just briefly kind of give my instant reaction to all of this. It was supposed to be my off day. I was grocery shopping. I had a cart full of groceries, meat, and frozen stuff. All of a sudden, my phone starts blowing up. I'm sure I looked like a mad person, you know, pacing back and forth as I frantically try and verify this information coming at me. That's how it always works. I was in a Walmart when the Eustace stuff came to me. But man, this has been a long time coming, I think. He's been the AD for 9 years. A complicated tenure, to say the least. I mean, there have been some rough stretches. Obviously, the football program has not even remotely lived up to the expectations that everybody hoped for with the on-campus stadium. Being fair to him, he also secured a phenomenal naming rights deal for the stadium that far exceeded my expectations. Also secured the big Bohemian donation for the women's facility, established a relationship with Under Armour, for better or for worse, opinions on that probably vary. I mean, I'm just trying to make it clear. It's not like the entire tenure was a disaster. I got along with the guy. He was always very nice to me. But really what it comes down to is just a lack of success on the football side, and that's what pays the bills. He did some good things by hiring Nico Medved. I would argue the Larry Eustace process was botched at the end, but Medved was obviously a great hire, was able to extend him. That's been great. But the extension with Bobo was a disaster, even if I think it was a decision that at the time was maybe questionable, but it wasn't like it was ludicrous or anything like that. He did have some momentum after the 2016-17 seasons, although, you know, the writing should have been on the wall given the way that the 2017 season played out. The Adazio hire never made sense from the beginning to me. I've heard that that was a decision that was primarily made in the president's office and not necessarily Joe's number one pick or anything like that. But again, that whole tenure was just a disaster from start to beginning. Never made sense. The whole thing was gnarly, and you have the investigation into the program. The football program actually gets shut down at one point while they look into racial bias and the mishandling of COVID and all that. It was just a mess. It's a really hard gig. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to make it seem like I'm tap dancing on the guy's grave or anything like that. We do now have confirmation from CSU Athletics that Joe Parker is going to remain at CSU as an advisor to the president's office, whatever that may mean. Kind of reminds me of the situation with Eustace at the end. Maybe you can kind of stretch out his deal. Does have 4 years left on his contract. John Weber, who previously ran the Green and Gold Guard, the NIL collective, he will serve as the interim athletics director. I think that's a decision that makes a lot of sense. Honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if he ended up getting the gig full time, just based on, you know, kind of what I've heard about him. I think the coaches really love him. He's a guy that understands the modern collegiate athletic landscape. And it was just time for change. At the end of the day, I don't think the relationship between him and CSU fans has been good for a long time. I've been very open about that. That's not something I held back or anything. Ram fans didn't seem to care for Joe Parker, and frankly, Joe Parker didn't seem to care for Ram fans. During a time when you need your alumni as engaged as ever, and frankly are financially dependent on that and on them being engaged and buying into what you're selling, that seems problematic. Anyways, I just wanted to give a couple of thoughts there before we got into the conversation with Kevin Lytle. Really appreciate him giving me some of his time today. For the sake of context, I want you guys to know that when we recorded, CSU had not yet verified that Joe Parker was out. We had heard some things, but we also could not confirm that John Weber was going to be the interim AD. We now know that, so just keep that in mind in terms of how we answered some of the questions that were sent in. Real quick, I do want to shout out our new sponsor, big time sponsor. That's Coors Light. You heard me, folks. We've made it big time. We are sponsored by Coors Light. And, you know, when you're trying to juggle a chaotic life, and I certainly am at the moment, there's nothing better than an ice cold Coors Light to help you reset and just refresh. It doesn't matter if you're chilling out on the lake, if you're out on the western slope, if you're just hanging out at Horsetooth, even if you're just kicking it with a couple of buddies on the back porch, Coors Light is the perfect cold refreshment when you just want to chill and have a good moment with the people you care about. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill. That's Coors Light. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. When it's time for a refresh, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment, crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. When it's time to chill, Coors Light is the beer I reach for. So when you want to hit the reset, grab the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/DNVR. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Natures of Colorado provides an amazing grade of cannabis and a vast variety of products. Check them out for all your needs, including infused edibles, high-potency concentrates, and some of the best flower in the state. There are four convenient locations: Log Lane Village, Garden City, Sedgwick, and Milliken. Remember to save time by ordering ahead online at naturescolorado.com. Stay cozy in your car and pick up conveniently through their drive-thru. Some of their deals include a $99 ounce every day. If you use our code, though, DNVR, you can get any shelf ounce for $85. Visit a location and mention our code DNVR to take advantage of these Natures of Colorado deals. All right, joining me on the DNVR Rams podcast, we've got Kevin Lytle, the Fort Collins Coloradoan. Kevin broke some big time news this morning. I was able to verify that as well. Not that, you know, we trust Kevin's reporting. There's no point at that. But Joe Parker, he's out as the Colorado State Athletic Director. All kinds of different angles to dive into. Just real quick. Hired in 2015, hired multiple football coaches, but football is 40-63 under him. No postseason wins. The most common question we received, and I know we're just kind of jumping right into it. I didn't really do the pleasantries, but why now? That seems to be the most common question that we're getting.
Yeah, that seems to be the one that everyone's asking. And, CSU still hasn't publicly announced this or sent out a press release or anything. So it'll be interesting to see kind of the phrasing, wording, how they sort of frame this to see if that answers that question at all. You know, I don't think there's any one reason. I don't think there's, you know, a one thing that led to this change or anything like that. You know, Amy Parsons has been the president for what, I think just over a year now. So I think it's natural that, you know, she would review not just, you know, athletics, but every, you know, facet of the university. So I think that's part of it. I think it would be naive to not look at, you know, the end of basketball season coming and the potential poaching of Nico Medved as, you know, part of the conversation. I don't think you're making this move just to, because of that. But I think, a potential, you know, aggressive change in just kind of the trajectory of athletics. Obviously, everything is changing in college sports right now, and we'll see who the interim is, but I wouldn't be surprised if it kind of signals a change in mindset, if you will, at CSU. I don't think there's one specific thing. I don't think, you know, there's a specific reason why exactly now, but part of a, you know, probably a broader review of everything going on in athletics. And like I say, clearly, the fact there's being a move made means that, you know, there's some change desired in just trajectory and what's going on.
I don't think it's shocking to anyone, just given, you know, the relationship, I don't think, between CSU fans and the athletic department as a whole has been great these last couple of years. Obviously, the lack of football success kind of trumps any successes you have in the smaller sports. And I don't mean that to be dismissive or say that Olympic sports don't matter or something like that, but it really all comes down to money, and it's a department that's frankly in a lot of debt.
Yeah. You know, football, you know, like it or not, football's the driver of everything. And, you know, you go back to 2016, you know, when there was realignment talk, CSU was, you know, big in that. And now, you know, CSU basically isn't mentioned as a candidate when, you know, you hear about realignment conversations. So that's important. You know, football, like you say, 40-63, that's a tough record. You know, there's a lot of good, you know, like you say, Olympic sports win at a pretty high level at CSU. But, you know, it's hard to ignore football's lack of success. And yeah, the fan thing, you know, it's not the be all end all, but, you know, athletic director is a public face of a university. And that relationship, I think, is definitely fractured between some of the fan base and Parker. So, you know, there's just a lot of things going on, but there's no doubt in, you know, the crazy changing of college, you know, sports right now that you need to get football right. And it hasn't been.
What do you expect as far as the timing of the next hire goes? I mean, the last time we had an AD change, the interim was in place for quite a while. I think it was over a year. I have a hard time seeing it be a similar situation, like you said at the beginning, just given there's so much instability in college athletics right now. You're trying to hang on to some quality coaches. It feels like they kind of have to figure it out quicker than they would have maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah, I can't imagine it would be a supremely long period. I do expect it'll be an interim named as opposed to like back in the Paul Kowalczyk to Jack Graham shift where it was just, you know, right, hard cut, new AD, and I would expect it to be interim. Will that interim be a candidate for the long-term position? Probably. But yeah, I would think you kind of have to move fairly quickly on this just because, like you say, so much changes so fast. You can't be in a nebulous, uncertain world for too long. But exact timing is really hard to say. You know, probably this summer, sometime between the end of school year and the start of next school year, that seems like kind of a natural time to realign, you know, leadership positions and whatnot. So that's a rough guess. Again, we'll see when CSU, you know, finally speaks kind of what they say, if they share, you know, a rough timeline or thoughts on that process or anything. But I think you're right. I can't drag too long just because there's too much going on.
Can you think of any names, even if they were theoretical, of who would make sense? Jack Graham obviously is going to get thrown out a lot at us. Just personally, that would be very surprising to me given the way his tenure ended.
Yeah, that would stun me. And I know he's still around. He's involved. You know, he does, you know, a little bit of stuff with, you know, the collective and everything. That would surprise me, though. If that happened, I mean, the collective is a place I would look at, see if there's any connection there, because I think that's very possible. Certainly interim will be someone that people have seen around. Long term, it's hard to say who that person could be, but certainly interim. I think you almost have to have someone that has some connection with what's going on at the university.
I mean, I think really just in general, just with these admin spots, it's tough to not be somebody with any ties. Like, as much as people love to throw, you know, a lot of blame at Joyce McConnell, and I'm critical of certain things myself, I think at the end of the day, the best way to put it is she just wasn't really a natural fit.
Yeah, you know, fit matters in every position. We talk about with coaches, you know, players, and I think that's true for admin too, of fitting with the community, you know, CSU's vision, and, you know, connecting with the people that you have to connect with, you know, in these positions of leadership. So, yeah, I think, you know, no matter what, an AD that's good at one school wouldn't necessarily be good at another for a variety of reasons. So I think that's absolutely true, that just the right mold and fit and align. You know, these are very, very buzzwordy terms I'm using, but they're also kind of true.
What in your estimation should be the number one directive for the new AD? That was the other common question we got. And that's a tough one because there's so many
ways you can go. I mean, you know, we joke about how, you know, when fans are complaining about basketball and saying, you know, we just need that 7-footer who runs, defends, blocks shots, scores at the rim, shoots threes. That's what you need in your athletic director, someone that does everything. And it's really hard. I mean, obviously, realignment is one of the ones, you know, make sure CSU doesn't get left behind. you know, coach retention and hiring is obviously huge for any of that's the one thing that's consistent through any era of college athletics. You better get the right coaches, and that's still true. And then, you know, obviously there are some limitations on what you university can and can't do with NIL, but making sure to, you know, that your coaches or your programs, I should say, are able to embrace this changing world of college sports, I think is going to have to be important, because, you know, we've heard the stories. We've heard Jay Norvell talk about, you know, players who aren't in the portal getting tampered with big money offers. Like, that's part of college athletics right now. So you have to be able to handle all these type of things. And yeah, you know, that's a big, it's easy for us to sit here and say that's a big ask for anyone, but it's going to be what an AD has to do.
Well, and I want to be clear. I don't think either of us are using this as an opportunity to like celebrate. I don't know. Obviously the Twitter reactions are going to be different than a nuanced conversation, but that's Twitter isn't the real world. I think there's plenty of examples of that, but at the end of the day, like, it's tough to defend 9 years of this type of shortcomings. Like, we got along with him. From what I've heard, he hasn't exactly been a huge proponent of NIL. I've heard there was maybe some progress there in, you know, recent months, but I don't think it was an area that he particularly embraced or like really wanted to lean into. And I do think for me, along with not being left behind in college athletics, it's got to be somebody who understands NIL is the game now, even if it is very flawed.
Yeah, absolutely. It is super flawed. And Joe Parker, and he's gone on, you know, podcasts, you know, with the Ram Nation guys, credit to them for the great work they do. And I would say Joe's been pretty critical of NIL. He's blamed the media for it. He's, you know, talked about how it's not what it's supposed to be, which I agree with, but you know, the part of being in that leadership role is handling whatever is happening. So yeah, I don't think it's really a secret that he wasn't embracing, you know, a big embracer of NIL. I think the GGG and stuff, you know, there's been improvement there over, like you say, recent times. But that's part of the game right now. Again, you know, it's not just locally. You see, you know, national folk talk about that all the time of, you know, people not on board with, you know, this current change of college athletics. Like, you just won't be able to keep up, you know, whether you like it or hate it. I can totally understand some of the people that are very against what NIL is right now. But certainly from a leadership position, you have to be able to try and handle it best you can. Because again, it's happening. It's a tidal wave. You can't really stop it. I think, you know, Joe has made it clear on some of those, you know, public comments that he doesn't love everything going on in that NIL space.
I think that's well said. I mean, like I said, it's a tough job, and I hate that so much of it has become pay for play. And I'm not trying to make it seem like his entire tenure was a disaster. You secure the naming rights for the stadium. They got significantly more money for that than I think anybody anticipated. Was able to schedule some high profile football opponents. Also some questionable FCS games against teams that are good, or it's like, really, what was the value in that? But at the end of the day, I think it all just comes down to money. And when you need to make money and you need to, you know, have a fan base be really energized in a way that's probably more important than ever, just because of the financial, like, I understand that fans have always been big for donations and stuff, but I mean, nowadays you're basically counting on the people to pay the bills for you. Yeah. And if they're apathetic, then that's a tough ask.
Yeah, it's very tough. I mean, we've talked about this before. I've said again today, and we'll say it, you know, Joe Parker's, you know, when we look back at his tenure, it's complicated is the best way to put it, because there is good. You know, like you say, the campus naming rights that's a big money deal that can literally pays off. Obviously the Nico Medved hire and then extension have been very good. But you know, the Olympic sport success, you have that, you have the donation from Bohemian for the women's facilities and stuff. So there's plenty of good there, but there's a lot of big, you know, misses. Obviously the Eustachy
debacle
and whatever you want to call it, wasn't technically a firing, which is part of that. You know, the Dazio hire, even if it was pushed by the president's office, you know, if it's still the football coach that the athletic director oversees, the Bobo extension, and just the football record overall. Those are significant, misses that will always live there. It's a tough, brutal job, very complicated. I think we're both seeing reactions all over the place, from good riddance to what on earth are they doing? How could they let this guy go? It's literally the whole spectrum right now. I think that speaks to just the length of tenure. I need to double check, but is Joe the longest tenured AD in CSU history? I think, or maybe second, somewhere up there. That's a lot of time and relationships, good and bad, built over 9 years, basically. So you're seeing the whole spectrum right now of reactions.
We'll wrap up that conversation with Kevin Lytle in just a second. Real quick, I want to talk to you guys about Game Time. You shouldn't have to worry when you're buying tickets to your next big event. With Game Time, it's the fast and easy way to buy tickets for sports, music, comedy, theater, you name it. They are going to have killer last-minute deals, views from your seat, the best price guarantee. They take all the guesswork out of buying tickets. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. They're obsessed with finding ways to help you save money on tickets. And what's really cool is they have deals on tickets right up to the start of the event, even an hour after it starts. It really is the place to find last-minute tickets. With their zone deals, you pick the section, Game Time picks the seats for an average of 18% savings. And the Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you can find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. What are you waiting for? Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the app, create an account, use the code DNVR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply. Again, create an account, use that code DNVR for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices, guaranteed. With Empire Today, you get shop at home convenience, the right product for your needs, quick and professional installation, and a price match guarantee. Empire Today is the best place to get new flooring, so of course they have copycats. The thing is, those copycats, they can't beat Empire, not on quality, not on service, not on speed. So what they're going to do is they're going to advertise a bunch of crap, low-quality products that they're not even going to carry. Empire can't promise you the lowest prices because anyone that does that is putting flooring in your home that they wouldn't put in their own. Their philosophy is simple. They want to make the process simple for you. They want to help you find what you need, not overwhelm you with thousands of choices and substitutes. Again, the stuff they leave out, it's just as important as what they put in. Empire's product team exhaustively combs through thousands of product samples each year to find the perfect styles. And with their virtual floor designer, it's a great way to see how the floors are going to look in any space. Shopping for floors at a big box store can be frustrating because you're trying to imagine what your living room looks like. Why not just take a picture of your living room and have, the floor get implemented in? Boom, all of the annoying process out the window. Schedule a free in-home estimate. All listeners can get $350 off. All they got to do is use the code DNVR. Restrictions do apply. See empiretoday.com/DNVR for details.
Basketball, I think, is the focus right now, just giving the timing of it. But what do you think in terms of the impact on football? It's just another thing we've been asked quite a bit, and that's kind of a general broad question. So take it however you will.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, anytime the admin who hired you moves on, no matter how they move on, that creates a little question mark for whatever coach it may be. And now that means every coach at CSU is working under or will be working under administration that didn't hire them. But I think right now, it seems like Amy Parsons has been fully supportive of Jay Norvell and very visible there. And even though the record hasn't been there, I think most people still believe that Norvell's probably a good hire. Year three was going to be important, whether it was Parker or someone else. And I think that hasn't changed. So in a lot of ways, I don't think it really does change anything for, Norvell and staff. It's an important year and it still is that way. We'll see how it goes, but no matter who your boss is, coaching is a winning job. You got to win or you're in, potential danger. So I don't think it changes much. We'll see who the interim and then long-term replacement is as far as, some of the behind the scenes things, how that could change football. But right now, I don't think it changes a ton for Norvell and co.
this is an opinion question, but I personally, I'd have to assume that Parsons isn't making this move without at least taking some input from these head coaches too.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, like I say, in a reviewing, a department, I'm sure she talks to a lot of people and certainly has met with all the coaches. I don't think it's a sit down, like not do like a thumbs a up, thumbs hey, down. Yeah. Thumbs up, thumbs down thing. But yeah, talk about, what's good, what's not good, what they feel they need moving forward, all those types of things. So yeah, I mean, I don't think she's in there and asking every coach, hey, should I make a move or not? But absolutely, I think she's taken input from all the head coaches about, not just Joe specifically, but just broadly what their program needs moving, to be the best CSU sport X they can be.
Then lastly, just what are you hearing in terms of the possibilities of him staying on in some advisory role? I think it was Pete Bamel that initially published that. I have heard that it's a possibility as well, but I think, I don't know if it's as set in stone as it was maybe implied.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've heard, is that's a conversation, maybe something that has been or will be offered. There are probably multiple layers to that of, what that role would look like. And then obviously both sides, like what would CSU want Joe to do, and what would he be interested in doing? You could see both sides of, maybe wanting to stay involved and do some things, or, I think it would be a very reasonable human reaction to say, you're replacing me. I don't really want to help moving forward. So yeah, we'll see again whenever CSU does make some announcement, see what they say on that. And, that might be part of the holdup right now, some of that conversation. I don't know that, but yeah, we'll just see on that and what exactly might happen moving forward.
And just for anybody listening that might be wondering, it was Joyce McConnell that extended Joe Parker at the end of her tenure. He does still have 4 years left on his contract, so that it would make sense if CSU was trying to convince him, like, hey, instead of us buying out the rest of your deal, like, maybe we come to some type of structured deal, or you stick around and it handle some money stuff. Or, I mean, who knows? It could go a million different ways. But just for if you're listening out there and wondering, well, why would Parsons extend him, give him a 5-year contract extension, and then fire him 18 months later? That was not her.
Yeah, the timing on that was strange. I believe it was announced when Rick Miranda was sort of the interim president, but the deal had actually been signed before, and I have that contract in front of me, and it's Joyce McConnell's signature on it. So yeah, that was done before. So I'm sure, like you say, I'm sure that's a lot of the conversation right now, is some of the lawyer legalese stuff going on about how to, kind of handle whatever the exit might look like.
Nice calm Monday for you, Kev, huh?
Yeah, we had a nice off day, didn't we?
Hang on. I got one more question from you from the Outlaws and Mobies guys. They had a random fun question about 3-point shootout, but now my phone's for freezing up, of course. Give me 2 seconds. I'm stalling just like professional radio. Interesting to see the reactions. They're seeing a lot of split ones from players, like Jack Howell posted a nice one. I've seen some not so nice ones from former players too. Yeah. Weird situation.
I say all over the map, I feel, and what I've heard from fans, players, coaches, current, former employees, all sorts of stuff all over the place.
All right. Sorry for the delay. Who wins in a dunk contest between Neat Clifford, Chandler Jacobs, Carlston Hurst throwback, or Raquan Mitchell?
Raquan, he could throw them down, and I feel like he could probably get really creative with them. Neek throws down those big hammer ones. I'd be intrigued to see him just let loose and like see what type of creativity he could get into it, because he sure has bounce. Those are probably my top two. Oh, I don't know. Maybe Mitchell, but I don't know. Neek has crazy bounce.
Neek's definitely the best in-game dunker that we've seen.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Mitchell could maybe, he's a little bit smaller. Maybe he can do a little more like in the air and stuff. But also,
I was gonna say, I think being smaller helps you in like a dunk contest, because it just looks kind of cooler. And like, if someone smarter would have to tell me, like, I guess it feels like you're air in the air longer. So, you know, maybe him as far, if we're doing like straight dunk contest style, but yeah, in-game dunker is neat.
It's a little, I just think it looks more dramatic.
Yeah.
Who wins in a 3-point shootout? Gian Clavel, Wes Eichmeier, Antoine Scott, or Daniel Bejarano?
Oh my gosh.
That'd be a fun one.
Gian's tricky because he was real streaky. Like, if you get hot Gian, but I mean, good luck.
He's more of like an ISO, you know, I feel like he's got a dribble. Right. Like, I don't
he's
know
like a rhythm shooter.
Rack,
yeah.
He's gonna,
yeah, that's
you know.
Why I want to go Wes in that. Like, I feel like Wes could just knock him down in a, you know, empty gym, pull him off the rack.
I'm with you. I'd put Zay in that conversation. He's such a good spot
like spot up, pull him off the rack. He would knock him down.
Yeah, I'd probably would be say Isaiah should be in there. But out of those four, I'm going to go with Wes Eichmeier as well. That's a fun name, man. That makes me feel so old, though.
Oh, man. Yeah, I was in school at the same time as Wes covering those teams, which, makes me feel old, but wow.
Wes Eichmeier and Jesse Carr followed me back on Twitter when I was in high school, and that was
really cool to me.
So, yeah.
I wonder if they followed me back.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Not to flex on you or anything. Yeah.
Biggest flex of the day.
Thank you so much, man. I know it's been a chaotic morning. I know you've already been on the radio. You've had to deal with the chaoticness of publishing something like this. Always appreciate your time. And everybody out there, support local journalism. Nobody does it better than the Fort Collins, Colorado, and best community paper in the state.
Peaches out of Palisades, sweet as mama's marmalade. This shit sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. My mama slapped that bass, my sister sang these songs. Dancing under canopies, we thank the trees for all their leaves. We are just some drops of water, together make up seven seas. And one day I'll be like my father, one day I will learn to breathe. I'm choking on the thought that I am not the man I wanna be. I got blood on my shirt, like I wear my heart on my sleeve. She said I look good in red, but that went straight to my head. So now she's rocking my tees, tucked into new Prada jeans. And we ain't spoke in a month, but I just saw her last week. The lipstick stain still on my cheek, like we ain't talk enough. And we always seem to laugh, but never nod at us. So the future's looking grim, it's kinda ominous. And this song ain't about love, that'd be too obvious. See, this is more about lust and all of my misconceptions. And this is more about me and all of my self-deception. I'll tell myself a lie 100 times, don't need corrections. But every night I pray to God, I hope I learn my lesson. And the peaches out from Palisade, and they sweet as mama's marmalade. And this should sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. And my mama slapped that bass, and my sister sang these songs. Dancing hand in hand, we were tripping to left feet. Like a middle school slow dance, no one knew how to lead. But I'm still thankful for these days.